Okay, it's good to see everybody again. This is the Sunday feast, at least in North Carolina, as well as our normal Bhagavad Gita class. And we're on the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and we're going to chant Jaya Radha Madhava now. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopi Janavala Guba Giri Badadhari Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Badadhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Badadhari Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Badadhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Osatera Satichi Shimahan. His Divine Grace Savaya. Chadanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Prem Se Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavanam Gijai Maturadam Gijai Jagadvasami Gijai Yamunamai Gijai Shrimati Tulasi Devi Gijai Shrimati Tulasi Devi Gijai Samveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharani Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dejatardi. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Magana timidanda shaganandana shalakayat suran meditam yena tasmai shikubenama. So, we're going to go on to the Bhagavad Gita. And as I mentioned, this is our Sunday program, and for some of you, it's your Monday morning program. And We have two more days till Janmashtami. At least here in the United States, Janmashtami is the 11th of August. And that's a Tuesday. So 11th of August is Janmashtami. It's mostly going to be a virtual Janmashtami. And we're going to have darshan of the deities for people who come during the day to take darshan of the deities. However, everything is going to be very regulated, so everyone can keep social distancing, wear masks, and we'll have some wonderful dance performances on Janmashtami. The expert dancer, Champagalata, is going to be dancing, and this will be broadcast live two times during the day. One time at 1 o'clock on Janmashtami, and the other time it's going to be approximately 8 o'clock. It may be rescheduled for later. But anyway, so whatever it is, it's going to be an exciting Janmashtami where we remember the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pray for the Lord's protection, and pray for pure devotional service. So now we will go on to our Bhagavad Gita recitation. And of course, on Janmashtami Day, we're going to be speaking about Janmashtami, Krishna's appearance. Okay, Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter. Six. Of course, 11th chapter, if those of you remember, is the chapter of the universal form. And if you all remember what I said in the beginning of the chapter and what Prabhupada said, is this universal form is not exhibited for Arjuna's benefit. It's that Arjuna's request to be exhibited for the benefit of others so they can be convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also they can have a standard by which they can test people who declare themselves to be God. In other words, if someone declares themselves to be God, they have to be able to show the universal form. The universal form is a form that shows Krishna actually manifests as the whole universe, okay? And it's a temporary form. It's not Krishna's eternal form. Although in one sense it's spiritual because Krishna is doing it, there are many different universal forms, and as I said before, personally, I am not interested in seeing the universal form. I'm interested in hearing about it in this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita because it involves a relationship between Krishna and Arjuna and ultimately the proof that the two-armed form of Krishna is the original form of Krishna, and that's the form that we worship, the form that we interact with, the form we want to be with eternally. So that's the ultimate conclusion of this chapter. But as far as being able to see the universal form, I pray to Krishna, I don't see the universal form. So, you know, if you disagree with me, send me some emails and say why you should want to see the universal form. I'm already convinced that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't need further convincing of that type. If Krishna wants to convince me more about, you know, his supremacy, then he should come and show himself so I can shake his hand. And also to show his mercy upon the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. That's what I want to see. I want to see Dinahina Yata Chilo Harinam Udurilo. I want to see the fallen rascals in Kali Yuga become the most elevated devotees by Krishna's association. That's what I want to see. And Krishna's pastimes and Vrindavan and all that other nice stuff. But I do not hanker after seeing the universal form. Please, Krishna, let me see your real form. And actually, that's what Arjuna says at the end of this chapter. Okay? So let's start observing. Of course, we won't be observing, but hearing about the observation of the universal form. This is text 6. Pashayati chan vasundur chan ashvinao maratastata Vahunyadrishta Purvani Paschascharyani Bharata Paschasi Adityan, the 12 sons of Aditi, Vasun, the 8 Vasus, Rudran, the 11 forms of Ruja, Ashvinal, the 2 Ashvinis, Marutaha, the 49 Maruts, demigods of the wind, Tata, also Vahuni, many. Adrishta, that you have not seen Purvani before, Paschasi Ascharihani, all the wonders, Bharatas, best of the Bharatas. Oh, best of the Bharatas, that's Arjuna, of course. See here the different manifestations of Adityas. That means the son of Aditi. who are demigods. Vasus, Rudras, Lord Shiva's. Ashwini Kumaris, they're actually the physicians and the heavenly planets and all the other demigods. Behold the many wonderful things which no one has ever seen or heard before. Even there's one thing mentioned, it wasn't there. Okay, yeah. In the translation, you don't find the word by word translation, you find the Maruts. It's the demigods of the wind. That's interesting. And it's not in the written translation anyway. But many demigods includes it. So, anyway, so it's several things I want to explain. There's eight Vasus, of who the most senior of the Vasus actually became grandfather, Bhishma, in the Mahabharata. So, let me describe a little bit about the 49 Maruts, the wind gods. Which is not in the actual translation here, but it's in the word-by-word translation. It's in the Sanskrit. So, once upon a time, such an interesting story, I can't keep myself from telling it. This is the story of the 49 Maruts. Once upon a time, you had Diti. Diti, of course, is the mother of the Daityas. And for those of you who don't know what Daityas are, they tend to be demoniac, although some of them are nice, like the some descendants of the Daityas, like Palat Maharaj, she was a nice Daitya. So anyway, so she was really upset. Why was she upset? Because her kids had been killed by Vishnu. Now, she knew she couldn't get at even with Vishnu. And so, but she was thinking, Vishnu has done this for the sake of Indra. Indra, of course, is the administrative demigod in charge of the administration, whatever. And so she thought, Vishnu has done this for the sake of Indra. So let me kill Indra. I'm really angry with him. You know, I can't kill Vishnu. Okay. So she went to her husband, Kashyapa, and she pleased him very much. And he said, what do you want? And she said, I want a son that's the enemy of Indra. And Kashyapa thought, oh my God, I got tricked by my wife again to give her a benediction that's not going to be for the good of the universe. So he thought for a while. Okay, he said to his wife, you do this particular sacrifice, Payuvrata. And if you make one mistake in the sacrifice, that's it. Your child will be the friend of Indra. Ooh. So she was very determined, very, very determined. And she was doing this sacrifice. It went on for many, many days. But as she was doing her sacrifice, Indra, he was observing. He actually came there to serve his aunt, because she's the aunt of Indra. Kashyapa is actually the husband of Aditi, who is the mother of Indra, as well as the husband of Diti, who is the mother of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Anyway, so she was pregnant, and she was doing this sacrifice to get someone who would kill Indra, and she was just like really perfect in the sacrifice. But she made mistake towards the end. And she fell asleep at the wrong time. And Indra thought, aha, I caught her. So he entered into her womb. He made himself really, really small, entered into her womb. And with his thunderbolt, he cut up the embryo into seven pieces. And then he goes, that's good. I took care of this. Not going to be any problems now. Nobody's going to be my enemy. But each of those seven pieces became another person. And they were crying. And Indra thought, shh, too much. So then, took his thunderbolt and sliced up each of those seven into seven pieces. So, as you know, if you ever do mathematics, 7 times 7 is 49. And so those 49 kids, they actually remained alive. Don't try this at home. They were born from Diti. They actually were born at that moment. And Indra also came out, and they were all together. And then it was said that these 49 would become the servants or friends of Indra. And they became the wind gods. They're Maruts. Now, there's another famous person who is called Maruti, and that is Hanuman, because he is the son of the wind, or Vayu. It's a little bit different manifestation of the wind gods. Vayu. He's Vayuputra. Also, he's a son of Lord Shiva. Also, he's a son of Akeshri and Anjani, but that's a long story, which we don't have to tell in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita class. So, getting on to this discussion, purport. Even though Arjuna was a personal friend of Krishna and the most advanced of learned men, it was not possible for him to know everything about Krishna. Here it is stated that humans have neither heard nor known all these forms and manifestations. Now Krishna reveals these wonderful forms. Next verse. Ihaikastam jagat krishnam vashadya sacharacharam Mama dehe gudakesha yachchanyadrashnu ichasi. Iha, in this ekastam, in one place, jagat, the universe, kritsnam, completely pashasi adya, immediately saw with chara, the moving, acharam, and not moving, mama, my dehe, in this body, gudakesha, or Arjuna, yat, that which, cha, also, and yat, other, drashtum, to see, ichasi, you wish. Translation, O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything, moving and non-moving, is here completely in one place. Wow. Pretty self-explanatory. Purport, no one can see the entire universe while sitting in one place. Even the most advanced scientists cannot see what is going on in other parts of the universe. But a devotee like Arjuna can see everything that exists in any part of the universe. Krishna gives him the power to see anything he wants to see, past, present, and future. Thus, by the mercy of Krishna, Arjuna is able to see everything by looking at the universal form. Overwhelming. And that's mentioned many times about devotees. For example, it's mentioned about Yamaraj, that Yamaraj sees everything. Now, what does it mean, he sees everything? He's not Vishnu. He can't possibly see everything, but he sees everything because Vishnu lets him know whatever he needs to know. Similarly, with a pure devotee, you could say, Yasmin bigate saramevam bigatum bhavati. Sometimes it's mentioned the pure devotee knows everything. Or one who knows Krishna knows everything. So that means what Krishna wants him to know. Because obviously you can't know everything, but you can know the purpose of everything, which is really easy. That's called teleology, purpose of everything. But to know everything is not possible, but the pure devotee is informed about everything. Just like, for example, okay, let's take an example where we have pictures of a pure devotee, let's say Prabhupada. And you pray to Prabhupada. Okay. So it's not that Prabhupada is all pervasive, that he has a camera and a microphone in all of his disciples' rooms. But Krishna conveys to him that this particular disciple is praying to you. And by the mercy of Prabhupada, then the disciple gets connected to Krishna. So we have to understand the difference between Vishnu, Krishna, who is all-pervasive, and the pure devotee, who can understand anything that he needs to understand that Krishna lets him understand. As Krishna says in the Gita, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything past, present, and future. Sometimes the pure devotee is also called Tri Kala Gya. What does Tri Kala Gya mean? Gya means to know. You understand? Three. Everybody got that? Three. kala means time. So tri kala gya refers to three time knowing. And to put it in common English, the three times we're talking about are not today, tomorrow, and the next day, or past, present, and future. So the devotee is called Trikala Gya because he knows Krishna, and then Krishna can inform him of anything. It's not that every devotee, you know, even pure devotee, you go to and say, what will happen? Who's going to be the next president of the United States? Or is there going to be a hurricane? Or that's nonsense. He's not Vishnu. And many times people misunderstand things the pure devotee says and says, well, that means he's omniscient. He knows what I've been thinking. He may know what you've been thinking because Krishna tells him, not because he's some psychic who could read minds. You know, people misinterpret the pure devotee in many cases. Okay. So, next text. Natumam sakshuse drashtumanain anenaiva svachakshusha divyam dadami te chakshu pashame yogam aishvaram na never to but mam me sakshuse are able drashtum to see anena with these eva certainly svachakshusha your own eyes divyam divine dadami I give you te to you chakshu who eyes pasha see may my yogam aishvaram, inconceivable mystic power. But you cannot see me with your present eyes, obviously. Therefore I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. So in other words, our eyes, even insofar as, let's say, electromagnetic spectrum is concerned, we see with only within a certain limited spectrum. You know, infrared, no, we don't see infrared, but red to violet, you know, which is, and so beyond that spectrum is infrared and ultraviolet. Ultraviolet, if that happens to be your favorite color. Therefore, how can we don't even see everything. We have animals who can see things beyond that spectrum or below that spectrum. We have animals that can hear sound that we can't possibly hear. There's too high a frequency, like a dog whistle or something like that. Or like a bat that communicates with other bats. So we need spiritual eyes to see spiritual things. And these eyes cannot see spiritual things. They just can't. They can't. It's just like a machine. A machine is made to perceive or interact with certain elements, isn't it? Like my computer, for example, cannot smell. It's not made in that way. And because you could say your computer smells, that doesn't mean it is smelling. But it may smell because you haven't washed the thing. But that's a different subject matter. But your computer cannot smell. Maybe you can touch when you touch the keyboard, but it's, you have to understand, machines are made for specific purposes, and this body is a machine. Yantra is the word used in the Gita. And it is not made for the purpose of seeing spiritual things. But you have spiritual senses, which when you uncover them, by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Guru, by the chanting of the Lord's holy names, which are not different from Krishna, then you can perceive spiritual things. So purport. A pure devotee does not like to see Krishna in any form except his form with two hands. That's what I just said. I do not like it. A devotee must see his universal form by his grace, not with the mind, but with spiritual eyes. To see the universal form of Krishna, Arjuna is told not to change his mind, but his vision. The universal form of Krishna is not very important. That will be clear in subsequent verses. Yet because Arjuna wanted to see it, the Lord gives him the particular vision required to see that universal form. Devotees who are correctly situated in a transcendent relationship with Krishna are attracted by loving features, not by a godless display of opulences. That's what I was talking about before. I'm not attracted by this universal form. The play, like Prabhupada said, One time, when the bombs were falling in Calcutta, he said, I saw that as the universal form of Krishna. Like Krishna says, Mrityu Sarva Horashchaham, I'm all devouring death. But Prabhupada said that form was not lovable. I mean, some devotees, I mean, they put a picture of the universal form and they chant their japa to it. It's hard for me to understand. The playmates of Krishna, the friends of Krishna, and the parents of Krishna never want Krishna to show his opulences. That's a fact. We don't. We don't want Krishna to show his opulence. We just want to play with him. That's it. Anyway, I guess there's different strokes for different folks according to the level of spiritual realization. I mean, some people want to see the light, the Brahma Jyoti. I'm not interested. What's light? I've got so many lights here. Just like I'm doing a class, I have to have so many lights on me right now. Why do I want to see another light? I want to interact with Krishna and play with Krishna. They are so immersed in pure love, they do not even know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the perfection. In their loving exchange, they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the boys who play with Krishna are all highly pious souls, and after many, many births, they're able to play with Krishna. Such boys do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They take him as a personal friend, a buddy. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami recites this verse. I mean, when they see his great power, they may think, well, he may be empowered by a demigod. He may be a demigod, but, you know, he's Krishna. He's my buddy. So, itam satabrahma sukhana bhuja dasyam gatanam paradaivatena maya shatanam naradarakena takam vijaru kritapunya punjaha. Here's the Supreme Personality, Supreme Person, who is considered the impersonal Brahman by the great sages, the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotees, and a product of material nature by ordinary men. Now these boys who have performed many, many pious activities in their past lives are playing with that Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's no question of the coward boys thinking, here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're thinking, he's my really good buddy, and I'm his good friend, too. The fact is that the devotee is not concerned with seeing the Vishwarupa, the universal form, but Arjuna wanted to see it to substantiate Krishna's statement, which is what probably I said before, that in the future people could understand that Krishna not only theoretically or philosophically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually presented himself as such to Arjuna. So as far as I'm concerned, this is for others' benefit, not my benefit. Arjuna must confirm this because Arjuna is the beginning of the Parampara system. Now, you may say, why is Arjuna the beginning of the Parampara system? I thought the Parampara system started with Lord Brahma, Lakshmi, the four Kumaras, and Rudra. Well, Arjuna has his own Parampara system of learning the Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna's Parampara system is integrated into our sampradaya. It's like a branch of our sampradaya because guess who Arjuna is related to? Śrīla Vyāsadeva. Yes. If you don't know the story, Śrīla Vyāsadeva was the father of Pandu. And also the father of Dhritarashtra. Is that whole story that I'm not going to tell right now because this is not a Mahabharata class, but he's the father. So in one sense, Śrīla Vyāsadeva is the grandpa of Arjuna. And of course, we also know that Arjuna, he was born from Indra and Kunti, so there's that relationship too. But anyway, there's also the grandfather relationship. Those who are actually interested in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and who follow in the footsteps of Arjuna, should understand that Krishna not only theoretically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually revealed himself as the Supreme. The Lord gave Arjuna the necessary power to see his universal form because he knew that Arjuna did not particularly want to see it, as we have already explained. You know, it's for others' benefit, just like we talk about the universal form, for others' benefit, to impress people, how great Krishna is. But in the spiritual world, we're not concerned with how great Krishna is. We just love him. That's it. You know, if there's real love, you don't, you're not concerned with how much money someone has or how power someone has. You just love him or her for who they are. Just like that example I've given many times before, that sometimes when a very rich man is looking for a wife, he will, forget the exact expression, but anyway, he'll dress like an ordinary person. Slum himself or something like that. Anyway, he'll dress like an ordinary person and just meet different people, you know, different nice ladies. He'll meet different people, and then after the relationship is set, he'll reveal to his wife, hey, guess what? I'm Bill Gates. No. So, the interesting thing is that the coward boys, they're so much in love with Krishna. Even if someone tells them that Krishna's God, or even if someone tells the gopis that Krishna's God, it's not, I don't care whether Krishna's God or not. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just like, we love him. You know, love has nothing to do with someone's position. So, Sanjaya Vacha Eva Muktva Tato Rajan Mahayogeshwara Hadihi Darshayama Sapartaya Paramam Hupamaishwaram Sanjaya Vacha. Sanjaya said, Evam thus Uktva saying Tata thereafter Rajan, O King, Mahayoga Ishwara, the most powerful mystic, Hari, the Supreme Personality of God in Krishna, Darshayama Asa showed Partaya unto Arjuna, Paramam, the divine, Rupam, Aishwaram, universal form. Sanjaya said, O King, having spoken thus, the Supreme Lord of all mystic power, the Personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna. Now remember, we started the Bhagavad Gita a long time ago, and we discussed who Sanjaya is. Sanjaya is the secretary of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is the father of the Kurus. He has 100 sons headed up by Duryodhana, and they're fighting on the opposite side from Arjuna. And Dhritarashtra was born blind. So Dhritarashtra is a bad guy. His sons are bad guys. And so Dhritarashtra is interested in hearing what's happening in the battle of Kurukshetra. He can't fight himself because he's blind. Actually, he was offered sight by Srila Vyasadeva, who was his father. And he didn't want to accept that sight because he thought, you know, if I have sight, I will be able to see my sons die, because he understood that whoever fights against Krishna on his side will die. He actually understood that internally. So therefore, Vyasadeva gave another one of his disciples spiritual sight so that disciple could watch on his spiritual television, which is in his heart, the whole battle of Kurukshetra. And that disciple's name was Sanjaya. So Sanjaya is visualizing what's happening, the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, the universal form, and all the things that are going to happen in the future after the Bhagavad Gita is spoken, the fighting, the battle of Kurukshetra. And he's reciting this to Dhritarashtra. So this is really what's happening in this verse. Sanjaya is reciting. Sanjaya is also the secretary of Dhritarashtra. Sanjaya says to Dhritarashtra, O King, describing what is happening. Got it? That's just to reiterate for those who just joined us halfway through the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, more than halfway through the Bhagavad Gita. So, all right. So, text 11, 10 to 11. Aneka Vaktra Nayanam Aneka Bhuta Darshanam Aneka Divya Varanam Divyane kodyatayunam divyamalyam varadharam divyagandhanulepanam sarvascharyamayam devam anandamishvatomugam. Aneka various vaktra mouths, nayanam eyes, aneka various abhuta wonderful darshanam sights, aneka many divya divine, abharanam ornaments divya divine, aneka various udyata uplifted, ayudam, weapons, divya, divine, lalya, garlands, ambara, dresses, dharam, wearing, divya, divine, gandha, fragrances, anulepanam, smeared with sarva, all, ascharya, mayam, wonderful, devam, shining, anantam, unlimited, Vishvatamukham, all pervading. So Arjuna saw in that universal form unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garlands and ornaments and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all expanding. Let's see if I can find a picture to show you of the universal form. Give me 1 second. We will share here. Okay, here's some good pictures of the universal form. Whoops. One second. Okay, give you a brief view of the universal form. Just give me 1 second. Here we go. So get ready to be scared. There's the universal form. And there's Arjuna praying to Krishna in the universal form. You see unlimited mass. You know, obviously you couldn't see unlimited features in a limited picture, but you get an idea of what the universal form was like, just a vague idea of what the universal form is like. All right, let's go back to the Bhagavad Gita. All right. Good to have some pictures. Purport. In these two verses, the repeated use of the word many indicates that there was no limit to the number of hands, mouths, legs, and other manifestations Arjuna was seeing. These manifestations were distributed throughout the universe, but by the grace of the Lord, Arjuna could see them while sitting in one place. That was due to the inconceivable potency of Krishna. Text 12. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Babed Yuga Padutita Idiva Sadrshi Sasyad Vasastasya Mahatmanaha. Divi in the sky, Surya of suns, Sahasrasya, many thousands, Babet there were, Yugapat simultaneously, Uttata present, Yadi if, Va light, Sadrashi like that, Sa that, Syat might be, Va Shaha, Sifuldins, Tasha of him, Aha Atman, Aha, the great Lord. If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once in the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of that supreme person in that universal form. You can imagine how bright that was. Purport. What Arjuna saw was indescribable, yet Sanjaya was trying to give a mental picture of that great revelation to Dhritarashtra. Remember, it was said Sanjaya is the secretary, he had spiritual vision, Dhritarashtra was blind. Neither Sanjaya nor Dhritarashtra was present, but Sanjaya, by the grace of Vyas, is basically the father of Dhritarashtra, and Pandu was the father of the Pandavas, could see whatever happened. Thus, he now compares the situation as far as it can be understood to an imaginable phenomena, that is thousands of suns. So sometimes you have to use some material comparison to try to visualize or understand what's happening, but using material comparisons or metaphors or analogies are not proof. They just give you an indication or point you in a particular direction. They're not considered actually proof. Okay, text 13. Tatraikasnam and Jagat Kritsnam Pravibhaktam and Ekada Pasha Deva Devasya Shidrive Pandavastara Tatra there, Ekastam in one place, Jagat the universe, Kritsnam complete, Pravibhaktam divided and Ekada into many, Apashat could see Deva Devasya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shadire in the universal form, Pandavaha Arjuna, Tada at that time. At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands. Ooh. Purport, The word tatra there is very significant. It indicates that both Arjuna and Krishna were sitting on the chariot when Arjuna saw the universal form. Others in the battlefield could not see this form because Krishna gave the vision only to Arjuna. Arjuna could see in the body of Krishna many thousands of planets. As we learn from Vedic scriptures, there are many universes and many planets. Some of them are made of earth, some are made of gold, some are jewels, some are very great, some are not so great, etc. Sitting on his chariot, Arjuna could see all these. But no one can understand what was going on between Krishna and Arjuna. I remember also there's another universal form just came into mind. Krishna was in a place called Brahmananda Ghat, along the Yamuna, when he was a little kid. And he was eating dirt, and Balaram went to Mother Yashoda, that is Krishna's mother, and said to Mother Yashoda, Krishna's been eating dirt. And so Yashodavai went to Krishna and said, are you eating dirt? And Krishna said, Balaram is always ratting on me. He's making up stories to get me in trouble. And she said, open your mouth. I want to see if you actually have dirt in your mouth, kid. So Krishna opened his mouth, and she looked in Krishna's mouth, and she saw a whole bunch of dirt. That is, all the universes within Krishna's mouth. And even saw herself and Krishna within Krishna's mouth. Wow, what an experience. Now, it's another universal form. And then she fainted, and then Krishna just thought, well, this is not going to help my relationship with my mother. Let's just cover her with this yoga maya so she forgets what she saw, and then she went back to her normal relationship with Krishna, which is much more pleasing than seeing the universal form. And this happened at Brahmananda Ghat along the Jamuna River. And one day we'll take the devotees there. So, next verse. Tatasa vismaya vishto rishto roma dananjaya pranamya shirasa devam gatanjaleya ravashita tata thereafter sahi vismaya vishtaha being overwhelmed with wonder rishto roma with his bodily hair standing on end due to his great ecstasy, Dananjaya, Arjuna, Pranamya, offering obeisances, Shirasa, with his head, Devam, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krita Anjalihi, with folded hands, Avashita began to speak. Thus, bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to offer obeisances and with folded hands began to pray to the Supreme Lord. Purport. Once the divine vision is revealed, the relationship between Krishna and Arjuna changes immediately. Oh, I wouldn't want my relationship to Krishna changing like that. Before, Krishna and Arjuna had a relationship based on friendship, but here, after the revelation, Arjuna is offering obeisances with great respect and with folded hands, he's praying to Krishna. He's praising the universal form. Thus, Arjuna's relationship becomes one of wonder rather than friendship. So this is an interesting discussion of rasas. So friendship is one of the rasas. So the indirect rasa of what we call adbhuta, which translates as wonder, shock, wonder, overpowers the direct rasa. Everybody has a direct rasa, you know, one of the five different types we mentioned before, like passive adoration, servitude, friendship, parental, and conjugal. And sometimes you have the mixture, not sometimes, but usually have a mixture of these indirect rasas like wonder or shock or chivalry or humor that overcomes the direct relationship or flavors the direct relationship. For example, Madhu Mangal is a great friend of Krishna. He's situated in the friendship relationship with Krishna. And so one time, just one story, that Madhu Mangal was with Krishna, and they were returning really late that evening. And Mother Yashoda, that's Krishna's mother, says to Krishna, why'd you come late? And Madhu Mangal says, because he was looking at all the girls. And Krishna's mood changes to one of anger towards Madhu Mangal. He said, this fool! He's going to get me in trouble, you know, and he chastises, you fool, shut up. So anyway, so there, it's still friendship, but there's a real flavor of anger right there. And I guess a little fear that, you know, Krishna's fearful is going to be revealed, what he's actually doing out there, rather than just other than just taking care of the cows and playing with the cowboys, the other stuff goes on. Great devotees see Krishna as the reservoir of all relationships. This is what we're talking about. Relationships, or the taste of relationships, is called the ras. You have different ras. Actually, Prabhupada is talking about the same thing I just talked about. In the scriptures, there are 12 basic kinds of relationships mentioned, and all of them are present in Krishna. So we talk about 12, there's the five basic ones, and then there's the seven secondary ones that flavor the basic ones. And it's, right now, we're talking about Arjuna's secondary one of adbhuta, or shock, or wonderment. It is said that he is the ocean of the all relationships exchanged between two living entities, between the gods, between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. So Krishna is the source of all these relationships and the mellows of the taste of the relationship. Rasa, it doesn't mean directly relationship, it means the taste of a particular relationship. Just like, I mean, ordinary things. Let's say I have a ras. What is my ras with lemons? Sour. That's a sour ras. Okay, but it's the relationship is with the lemon. Here Arjuna was inspired by the relationship of wonder. That's exactly what I said. And in that wonder, although he was by nature very sober, calm, and quiet, he became ecstatic, his hair stood up, and he began to offer his obeisances unto the Supreme Lord with folded hands. He was not, of course, afraid. He was affected by the wonders of the Supreme Lord. The immediate context, his wonder, his natural loving friendship was overwhelmed by wonder. Well, Prabhupada said exactly what I just said. And thus he reacted in this way. So this is a study in ras, how the indirect ras can overwhelm sometimes the direct rasas. We gave the example of Krishna's anger and overwhelm the friendship in that particular circumstance. So it's very, very interesting, these relationships. Of course, in the material world, you may have a direct relationship with someone, and an indirect relationship flavors it. You know. So, Arjuna vacha pashami devam stava devatehi sarvam stata bhuta vishesha sangan pramanam misham kamalasanastam vishimsya sarvan nurakams. Chadivyan, Arjuna Vacha, Arjuna said, Pashyami, I see, Devan, all the demigods, Tava, your Deva, O Lord, Dehe, in the body, Sarvan, all, Tata, also, Bhuta, living entities, Vishesha, Sanghan, specifically assembled, Brahmanam, Lord Brahma, Isham, Lord Shiva, Kamala, Asanastam, Asanastam, sitting on the lotus flower, Vishin, great sages, Cha, also, Sarvan, all, Ura, gone, serpents, cha, also, divyan, divine. Arjuna said, my dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the demigods and various living entities. I see Brahma, the first person in the universe after Krishna, sitting on the lotus flower. The lotus flower comes from Krishna's navel. As well as Lord Shiva. We talk about Lord Shiva, a special expansion of Krishna. He's not Krishna, he's not God. He's a servant of God in a special category, and all the sages and divine serpents. Ooh. So, purport. Arjuna sees everything in the universe. Therefore, he sees Brahma, who is the first creature in the universe, and the celestial serpent upon which the Garbhadakshina Vishnu lies in the lower regions of the universe. This snake bed is called Vasuki. Hmm. There are also other snakes known as Vasuki. Arjuna can see from the Garbhadakshina Vishnu up to the topmost part of the universe on the lotus flower planet where Brahma, the first creature of the universe, resides. This means that from the beginning to the end, everything could be seen by Arjuna, who is sitting in one place on his chariot. This was possible by the grace of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So generally the snake is considered Anantashesh. So Vasuki must be according to Prabhupada, there are also other snakes known as Vasuki. It must be a generic term for a snake, but also good snake. And Vasuki is also a name from one of the good snakes that are one of the 100 sons of Kudru. Kudru actually gave birth to all the snakes, and Shesha is another name. But actually, this specific Vasuki that Garbhodaksha Vishnu is lying on is Anantashesh. Anantashesh, but Anantashesh, who is actually expansion of Balaram. Because all the Lord's paraphernalia, as we mentioned many times before, his sitting place, his temple, his asana, singhasana, that means lion throne, they're all considered manifestations or expansions of Balaram. So tomorrow we will go on to text 16. So we finished with text 15 today. Let me note this down. And so now we can take some questions. Okay. Nice to see everybody with your smiling faces. And some of you are not smiling, but that's okay too. We forgive you. So let me take you all off mute. Okay, who has a question? Who would like to be enlightened today? Jada.
Yes. How often does a pure devotee have to experience the universal form, and is it inevitable that the pure devotee will experience the universal form over and over again? Just like the separation and meeting with Krishna, etc.
Good question. Okay. Spotlight Jagga for a second so you can see his beautiful face. And then, here we go. His question is, a pure devotee doesn't ever have to see the universal form. There's no necessity. There's no mentioned in the Shastras that every pure devotee has to accept, see the universal form in his path coming up to the spiritual world. Of course, he does appreciate Krishna in the material world. In that sense, you can say Krishna sees, pure devotee sees the universal form. I mean, just like right now, I'm looking outside and I'm seeing the beautiful sunlight coming through the trees, and I'm understanding that's Krishna. So you may say, I'm seeing the universal form. But as far as actually seeing the universal form and becoming like overwhelmed and having your hair, because I don't have much hair to stand on end at this point in life, but having your hair stand on end and just like being shocked, that is not necessary in order to go back to home, back to Godhead. So as far as how often he sees it, it's not even necessary he sees the universal form once. Sometimes, you know, devotees come to Krishna consciousness through various means. Some people see the universal form in the form of death or punishment, and that scares the, excuse the expression, the bejesus out of them. Like with McGrory the hunter. He saw the universal form in terms of death. I mean, it depends on how you define the universal form to answer your question specifically. Like, if I see one of my relatives or one of my good friends die, in one sense, I'm seeing the universal form. Like when I see one of my godbrothers pass away, I'm actually perceiving the universal form, because Krishna, that's part of the universal form. But as far as having this complete vision that Arjuna had, or something similar, that's not necessary. Don't worry. Unless you really want to see it, I mean, that can be arranged. We can arrange it for you.
I think I've already seen it.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing it in one sense. And actually, the nature of material reality is revealed to us every day. You know, sometimes I get, you know, I really attached to all my electronic stuff, thinking, oh, how nice it is. I can communicate on the phone to people. And then all of a sudden, someone harasses me by sending like 100 messages on the phone. And I just like, help, Krishna, get me out of here. So in one sense, that's the universal form. But Krishna, it actually happens like that. It's just like, oh my God. I'm thinking, you know, I'm so good because I have all these apps. I have WhatsApp. People can communicate with me on. I have Messenger, Facebook Messenger. I have, don't any of you get ideas from hearing this? I have Viber. I have ordinary two or three ordinary email addresses. I have, what else do I have? A whole bunch of things. So, and I just think, wow, I'm really good, you know. I mean, just like last night, I had to communicate with someone in Fiji because there were some issues in Fiji. And, you know, some minor revolutions. So anyway, so I had to communicate with someone in Fiji, and I thought, just how cool am I with all my electronic gadgets? And then Krishna today smashed me because there was someone who kept, like, torturing me using another app. So then I realized, cool it, Maharaj, you know. So today I saw the universal form on WhatsApp. Krishna teaches us lessons. I mean, it's really interesting how Krishna teaches us lessons, and sometimes it's a little frustrating. So, good question. So, any other questions? Anyone here want to see the universal form? Any volunteers? No one? No one wants to see the universal form. I'm sure my boy. What? Yes, Praneshra.
Yes. Somebody said, like, Krishna is the seventh avatar of Vishnu. Eight avatar of Vishnu.
No, Vishnu is an avatar of Krishna. Expansion.
But India is like, they educate in the textbook, like, and also it's very common that people have misconception. Krishna is the eighth avatar of Vishnu, but how to give the answer to them?
Well, tell them to look at the Vedic literatures. Even Bhagavad Gita shows something different. I mean, if they look at the Bhagavatam, all the different Puranas say the same thing. I mean, it's just like, and also just logically, Krishna has more qualities than Vishnu. He has a more intimate relationship. And they're the same. I mean, we're not going to go arguing with people about it too much. But basically, it's less like God at work and God at home. I mean, who's the most, or what is the most perfect manifestation of God? God at home with his friends. Like that. I mean, with any of us, it's like, let's talk about myself. You know, what is the best understanding of me? As a guru or as a person? You know, there's an official me. There's an official me, and then there's the personal me. I try to make them the same, though. I don't try to switch that much. But, you know, we have official relationships with people, and we have personal relationships with people. So that's just logical. People could say so many things in India. They also think that, you know, Shiva's God, that Ganesh is God, Kartikeya's God. And they think if you hug some lady, you'll realize God. Right? They have the hugging guru. Not me, don't worry, I ain't gonna hug anybody. The coronavirus time, you know, especially, there's no hugging. So just because a lot of people in India, and you read a text about Hinduism, and you read so many stupid things, the people think what Hinduism is, and Hinduism is just a geographical designation because people couldn't pronounce Sindhu properly. Can you imagine? You name a whole religion because people have problems in pronunciation. Instead of saying Sindhu, they're Shindhu. Okay. You got some problems pronouncing? Okay, we'll call you Hindu. Anyway, it's just like Hare Krishna. Just Just read the book. Read the instruction manual. It's just like sometimes, you know, we're men. When we get something new, we never read the instruction manual. Isn't it? I mean, I think many of you experience that. You get something new. You know, sometimes I get a table for my computer or something like that. I don't read the instruction manual. And then I discover, why are the legs up? And this is not 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Why are the legs of the table up? And the actual table, you know, the rough side is down or whatever. You know, why is it backwards? Why doesn't it stand? You know, why is it tilted? And then I have to go back and read the instruction manual. So that way ladies are more intelligent. They read instruction manuals before they do something, whereas we don't. We're actually more proud. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So in India, you know, people believe so many things. They have rat temples in India too. I mean, you started me on it. Hopefully no one will get offended. They have a temple that's just dedicated to rats and they run all over the altar. Look it up on the internet. You can see a YouTube video of it. And the rats having kirtan. You know, I don't know, they're little mardangas. Whatever they do. You know, so just because a lot of people in India believe one thing or another thing, but basically we don't want to argue because Vishnu and Krishna are the same. Basically, we're not saying that there's a difference. And when we talk about expansions or secondary expansions, this is really being explained not in a precise way because it's all the same person. Really, it's all... He is all or all these personalities, Vishnu, Krishna, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Nrisimha Bhagavan, Kurma, Matsya, Varaha. They're all the same person. Just one person. And he's acting in a different way. But the most complete understanding, I mean, just to be theologically precise, the most complete understanding is when Krishna is at home in Vrindavan. That's all. That's why Jayadev Goswami prays Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa. I mean, it's interesting. You say they don't accept Krishna as the most perfect or complete understanding of God, yet they all accept Jayadev Goswami's Dashavatar shlokas, which definitely say Krishna is assuming this form, Krishna is assuming that form. Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa, Keshavadrita Kurma Sharira, Keshavadrita, Haladara Rupa, Keshavadrita, etc. So they all accept that and they chant this prayer, but they don't understand what the prayer means. It means Keshava. You have now appeared. Who is Keshava? Keshava is Krishna with long black hair. That's Keshava. And basically, I don't think Lord Nrisimhadeva fits that description. I don't think Kurma avatar has long black hair. Maybe it does. Anyway. But Krishna, Keshava specifically refers to Krishna and Vrindavan. Keshava. And Krishna with long black hair, you know, beautiful black curly hair. And Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa. So even if you go... Anyway, people speculate in India about all sorts of things. And in South India, of course, in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, that you'll have that discussion with them. But it's not important because it's all the same person. You understand? And then you even have something sillier in some places. And you say that the conception of God developed from, the fish to the tortoise to the lion, you know, half man, half lion, gradually came up. You know, anyway, it's a whole speculation. It's a whole speculation. And ultimately, most people in India are impersonalists or believe in any damn thing that it's been taught to them by their parents. And especially in Fiji, they believe in all sorts of things. You know, in Fiji, if people have some trouble with, they think they're haunted by ghosts, they go to a Muslim ghostbuster. They don't have faith in the holy names enough just to chant the Hare Krishna Ma mantra. They'll find some Muslim guy, and then they'll, anyway. So I have faith in the Vedic literatures. What do the Vedic literatures say? Not what Hindus say, not what whatever says. Vedic literatures, that's our standard. And the saints, you know, like we're reading from the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paraman, Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvato, Divyam, Adi, Deva, Mahan, Vibhum, Ohustvam, Vishayaksarve, Daivar, Shir, Naradas, Tata. That Arjuna is saying, you're the supreme abode, you're the supreme Brahman. And how do I know this? Because all the sages have said this of you. Like Narada, Vyasa, Sita, etc. like that. I mean, just read the book. You know, like I said, when in doubt, just read the instructions. You know, but we're also proud or, you know, whatever we've heard, whatever we know. Just read the instructions, Praneshra. Krishna's God. And if you don't like it, if you don't like it, tough. Anyway, I mean, if you want to go to Vishnu Loka, that's fine with me. I'm going back to Krishna Loka, and we'll be looking down at you. And we'll be looking down at you and Vaikuntha. Poor guy, you know, he just like has to put up with all this flying around and all irreverent stuff. No, actually, no, Vishnu Loka is good. All right, that's a nice question. In other words, how do you know what you know? The question, and it's an epistemological question. How do we know what we know? Well, we know what we know because that's what the acharyas have said. Not what everybody believes in. It's not, you know, vote, vox populi, vox populus. It's not that the voice of the people is the voice of God. There's that statement in Latin. If the voice of the people was the voice of God, then in America, we would be blessed by our president. The United States. So whatever people believe. I was just watching one news report where there were like 20,000 bikers, you know, people with motorcycle things, and they all believe some crazy thing. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you what they believe in. You know, so we don't ascertain the absolute truth by taking votes. At least votes from the common people. That's the problem. One problem with democracy is most people are stupid. And so they elect someone based upon whoever appeals to their stupid impulses. I mean, that's, anyway, sometimes you end up with a winner and sometimes you end up with a fool. You know, what do you know? What do we know? I mean, that's Kalo Shudra Sambhava. You know, to have people who don't know what they're doing elect a leader is really a recipe for disaster. Sometimes you end up with a good leader. Like in New Zealand, you have a very good leader. Mm. She's probably the best prime minister in the whole world.
Yeah. She visited the Krishna temple yesterday for Janamashtami as well.
Really?
So she went to the Krishna temple.
Krishna consciousness. Here also in America, Donald Trump came to Nugaloka yesterday to see Radha Golokananda. No, I just made that up. I just made that up. Because that's what came and offered his dandavots. Okay, I think we have to end now. We'll see everybody tomorrow night. Is Aditya Narayan on? No, I guess he's not on. Because he's all busy preparing for Janmashtami. As I mentioned before, Janmashtami, we have a lot of programs going on. And the evening of Janmashtami is when you'll all be able to see the dance. of Champakalata, and that'll be at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in the evening, which is ideal, basically, for almost the whole world. 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time will be like 10 o'clock in the morning Australia time, 12 o'clock midday in New Zealand and Fiji time, and even Europe, it may not be so bad. It's in the early morning in Europe, the Brahma Muhurta time in Europe. So it's basically good for almost the whole time, the whole world. Wow. Even in India, it'll be the morning time. So, and then our midnight arti will be televised. And hopefully I'll be doing the arti if Krishna lets me do the arti. And that, of course, midnight means 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Australia time, 4 o'clock, New Zealand, Fiji time. And 6 o'clock Central European time. Pretty good. And 10 o'clock, 9:30 in the evening. Actually, it's good for the whole world. Wow. It'd be good for everybody. So you're all invited to watch our midnight arti, which is on Tuesday midnight, which will be in the middle of the day in Australia and New Zealand. And the next day in Europe, and the next day practically everywhere else in the world. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Swami Gauri, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.
Jai.